The text for today's proclamation of the good news is from Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52, where we find the first recorded words of our Savior Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, send your Spirit upon us that we may be filled with wisdom to understand what you are doing in this word and in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I mentioned in the opening there that we have the first recorded words in Scripture of what Jesus says. They happen when he's 12 years old. So he probably said other words earlier than this. But these are the first recorded words. And it made me think about maybe what your first words might have been or what your kids' first words might have been. I know I was too young, so I don't remember them. But my parents tell me that as much as they longed for me to say mommy or daddy, I was a kid with two older brothers, so my first word was mine. I'm not sure what your first words were, but here are Jesus' first words. Why were you looking for me? These words help to shape what we are looking for in the rest of the Gospel of Luke, is the answer to this question. When people look for Jesus, what are they looking for? When you look for Jesus, what are you expecting to find? Jesus spoke these words to his parents. He was 12 years old, and he had been in Jerusalem celebrating the Passover with his parents. His parents, as was the custom, had traveled from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Jerusalem to celebrate this glorious redemptive act of God, when God, as we will find in the book of Exodus, had rescued the people who were in Egypt in bondage and slavery to Pharaoh, and God arrived and he rescued the people. And then every year, they would sacrifice a lamb and gather as a family to eat the meat and celebrate that God had provided rescue. Now, as the family is returning from this obligation of the law to be in Jerusalem, and they're in a caravan, in a group, traveling back home, they go a day expecting that Jesus got on the perch bus when they got on the bluegill bus, and maybe they would find him eventually. They just trusted. We're all family here, traveling together. But then he's not where they expect. And so they search anxiously. And after 3 days, they find Jesus in the temple. He's sitting, he's listening, and he's asking questions among the teachers. And these teachers, they are amazed at Jesus and his answers. What do we have happening? God, the Word of God, in the flesh, dwelling among us, is in the temple. That's exactly what the temple was built for. The temple was built to be the dwelling place of the Word of God among the people. And that's where Jesus is. The Word of God dwelling among the people in the temple. But when Joseph and Mary finally find Jesus, we have Mary ask him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I." And at this moment, in my image, I have Joseph standing, what your mother is saying, right? And the mother is saying, "Why have you treated us so badly?" And it kind of reminds me of, you know, when a kid gets lost in the grocery store, hiding inside the clothes. Mom is, of course, relieved that she has found Evan, but also kind of like, "Where have you been hiding, Evan?" And so this is Mary. But now, you and I, as readers of the Gospel of Luke, we know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is the Word of God, made flesh to dwell among us sinners, and that at the right time he has come to die for us on the cross. After 3 days he rose from the tomb, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. We know the end of the story. We know that the reason Jesus was in the temple is because that's where the Word of God is supposed to be, in the temple. But in the moment, Mary and Joseph don't understand that. In the moment, it can be hard to see what God is doing in the moment. I've had some of those moments. In those moments when everything is filled with an anxiousness, a distress, a confusion, and I wonder, God, what are you doing here? What are you trying to accomplish? And with some distress, it can be hard to be in those moments. It can be hard to be in those moments because we want to know God is there, but we don't see it. God is there. He's there in the flesh, in the temple. But Mary and Joseph, they didn't see it. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, there is this tension between those who see it. They see what God is accomplishing in Jesus, and then there's everybody else. That sometimes they're amazed, like the leaders in the temple, they are amazed at Jesus. Some people are amazed at the miracles that Jesus does. Doesn't mean that they know he is the Son of God that has come to redeem them, but they're amazed. Sometimes they're confused. Sometimes they're anxious, distressed. Sometimes they're just apathetic and lost. I've been all of those. So what makes the distinction between those that get it, that see it and they know what's going on, and those who are lost? And it is not between those who have been sitting in the pew as a family perfectly, and it's not between those who have had a lot of seat time in the church. It's not between those that made sure to wear the right clothing today. It's not between those who have done a bunch of good works beforehand and now they've been prepared to see it. It's nothing you can do that makes it possible for you to see what is happening. It is a gift of the Spirit. It is the Spirit at work in the gospel that calls us to faith, that gathers us together and enlightens us to see what God is accomplishing. For instance, 40 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph are arriving at the temple for a rite of purification to sacrifice two doves. There's a man named Simeon that's been waiting at the temple, longing to see the salvation of God's people. And in the Spirit, he sees Mary and Joseph arriving with the infant child, and he takes that child in his arms and he says, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." How can Simeon say that? Because the Spirit has opened his eyes to see it. I wonder what Mary and Joseph thought when this old man grabbed their child. Maybe it was a more inviting, easier time. I think not. I think probably it was still kind of weird. But Simeon knew what was going on. We sing those same words of Simeon every time we celebrate, well, nearly every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We sing after the celebration of the Lord's Supper, as we have beheld the body and blood of our Savior, we sing, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Why can we say that? Others may look at what goes on at this altar and be just confused. Maybe even anxious. Everyone else is getting up in the pew. Am I supposed to be getting up right now? Some people are amazed. But we know by faith that these are the promises of God, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's by the Spirit working upon us that we can say with faith, "This is God here for us now." Another time in the Gospel of Luke, when some see and others don't. You've got Peter, John, and James, and they go with Jesus up on a mountain. They see Jesus transfigured, dazzling in a whiteness that's impossible in this world. And they see then Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah. And Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tents, one for you, one for Moses and Elijah." They see something, but they don't understand what they see. And then a cloud descends upon the mountain to be a real reminder of the metaphor of what's going on in their mind. They're a fog in their head, and a fog comes on the cloud. And then the voice says, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Why could Peter, John, and James finally see what was going on? Because God's word spoke to them, and they heard it by the Spirit. These disciples called by God, "Come follow me," they needed the Spirit to be at work for them to see it. You and I, at times, will be at the end of the story and we'll know how it's going and we'll be filled with joy and gladness that God's Word is dwelling among us. But there will be others, and maybe it's you right now. You'll be in a moment. And you search and you long for it and you try to find it, but you don't know. Where is it? Where is God? But I want to give you that confidence that God is here, dwelling among us. Consider the centurion when the spear pierced the side of Jesus and out flowed blood and water. The centurion confessed, "Truly this man was the Son of God," because he had witnessed and saw by the Spirit what was going on. Final example from Luke I'm going to share with you. is on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That same day, two men are leaving Jerusalem. They've heard that the one that they had trusted in had died, and what is more, some now say that the tomb is empty, but they're just all confused, and they're leaving, and they're traveling to Emmaus, and a man comes and walks alongside of them, and they do not see that it's Jesus. And he asks them, what is going on? And they say, how do you not know what's going on? The whole city knows. And in the traveling to Emmaus, he explains how from Moses, Psalms, and the prophets, all these things must take place. That what has been written about in the scriptures has now been fulfilled. And with now a renewed gladness in their heart, they ask the man to stay with them and break bread with them in Emmaus. And in the breaking of the bread, he disappears. But then they say, were not our hearts ablaze within us as he opened the scriptures to us? When Mary and Joseph searched for Jesus, they found him in the temple. They found the Word of God in the temple. But not only Mary and Joseph, but everybody else did not fully recognize what was going on. And because we do not recognize the Word of God when he is in his holy habitation, he comes to where we are. He comes to us in the cross. He comes to us in our suffering and our He comes to us into our tomb. The Word of God does not just dwell in the high and mighty place of his temple. The Word of God comes now to dwell among us in our suffering. He comes to dwell among us in our tomb of darkness. And there's where we can find him always, in our own sufferings and our own struggles, knowing that the Word of God dwells among us. How does he dwell? How does he remain among us? After searching for 3 days where their hope would be, those men on the road to Emmaus found it. They found it in the Word of God. They found the dwelling in the promise of God because he is the resurrection. He is the life. The Word of God is here because he lives. The Word of God is here because he is here for you. May this be the promise that keeps in guard your hearts in Christ Jesus in those moments when you're searching, when you're anxious, when you're confused. I want you to have this confidence. The Word of God dwells among us. He will endure forever. Amen.